Welcome, virtual entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and adventure seekers with big dreams. You found the right place. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, a millennial, lifestyle blogger, and digital creative. The Laptop Lifestyle is designed to inspire, educate, and challenge you to live the life you want every day. Together, let's unlock how to live the laptop lifestyle to the fullest. I am so excited to bring to you one of my good friends, Chelsea Breesh. She is the babe behind the Millennial Miss. She's a blogger and she blogs about all things relationships and the millennial lifestyle, including recipes, fashion, and what it means to be a 20-something female in today's world. So welcome, Chelsea.
Hey, babe.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. Before we even start, I want to tell the audience how we met. Chelsea and I met via Instagram, and I guest blogged for her about a year ago, right?
Over a year ago. You were honest. I don't know if you ever knew this. I'm pretty sure you were my first guest blogger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just paving the way for all those behind me.
Yes, absolutely. You like set the standard really high. I'm like, all right, well, everyone else, this is what you have to be like.
Oh, I appreciate that a lot. And then we had never met in real life. And then Chelsea lives in LA. And I actually went out to San Diego for a work thing back in April. And she picked me up from the airport because that's what Instagram friends do when they meet for the very first time, right?
At the airport, totally. I thought it was normal.
Yeah, the world of social media.
I'll come get you and we'll go take some pictures.
It's a beautiful, beautiful world that we live in now. Let's learn a little bit more about who Chelsea is. So what lights your soul on fire? What's your day job? What's your day dream?
Oh my gosh, that is just a lot in one thing. I guess we could start really basic. Do you want like my day to day?
Sure. Yeah.
So my day to day, let's see, I wake up with or before the sun. I always try to start my mornings out with a really good workout, like get amped for the day. And then honestly, I am just glued to a laptop. I live two different lives. I go to my day job, which I work at an HR consulting firm. And I sit there and I do really fun things like scheduling flights and my boss's itinerary. And then I try to knock it all out because I pull out my personal laptop and I just like I hit the ground running, blogging and writing and I just crank it out. Once I get into my zone, I'm just like, I don't care what's going on around me. So that is just like I just made myself sound so boring, but that's, I guess, my day to day in a nutshell.
No, that's what hustle looks like. That is what hustle looks like. You do what pays the bills and then you do what pays your future bills.
Yeah. Which pays the bills now, the future bills, and you know, even the bills beyond that, just bills, bills, bills. But yeah, that's, and then, you know, while I'm doing all those things in my day to day, I have a lot of daydreams. You know, they flow pretty consistently. Those dreams consist of first not having to have a separate day job, you know, just growing my own empire and my own business and being able to create my own schedule and not someone else's. And then the daydreams kind of just trickle from there.
How does that feel? Because I feel like there are a lot of people with a dream who are working on their side hustle while also carrying on a full 8-to-5 job trying to pay their rent. So how frustrating is that for you to go to a place where maybe your heart's not all the way in it, and then you have to give up time that you could be working on that side hustle to pay your bills?
To be completely honest, I think it's one of the hardest things that I have to overcome every single day. It's really because my personality is so all or nothing. So to sit in a space where most of the time I wish I was doing something else is a really large pill for me to swallow. And I get in those moments where I'm like, Chelsea, like, you know, what are you doing? Can you just, you know, walk in the door one day and quit and, you know, sit at home and do your blog? But when I get 10 steps ahead of myself, I really, it's almost like I put myself in timeout. You know, I put myself in the corner and I have a little life chat with myself and I lay out all the positive things. You know, because of this job, I do have a steady income that, you know, allows me to live in LA and then allows me to sit in my cozy one bedroom apartment and crank out, my dreams.
So yeah, you just really reflect on what you're grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, probably with any situation in life, you could sit there and say all the negatives. You know, this sucks. I can't believe I have to sit in the office. I hate this cubicle. Like, my boss doesn't understand. You know, I could be doing X, Y, and Z with my time. But I just have so learned the importance of flipping it, you know, not to make everything all sunshine and rainbows, because it's not, but to always kind of see, you know, the good in it. Like, so for me, like, I know that every day I'm going to be off at 5 o'clock. Like, I am walking out the door at 5 because I'm going to go home and I'm either, you know, I need to go to a networking event or I need to go home and make sure that a post is ready for the next week or whatever it may be. Like, you know, so I have the flexibility to be able to fully support myself and, you know, still, you know, follow up on something where my true passion lies.
Yeah. And what I love about that is I feel like so often millennials, especially in general, we hear the success story after the struggle has already been struggled, you know?
Like, oh my gosh, of course.
I love that you're in this right now and that you have such a positive outlook while also knowing the reality of what living a lifestyle in LA is, you know, and how hard it is to take that side hustle into a full-time hustle.
Totally. You know, it's really funny. I feel like sometimes I'm the only person in this city that has a day job. You know, if I'm ever out, you know, let's say randomly like 2 o'clock on a Wednesday and all these other people are out, I'm like, what are you guys doing that you don't have to be in the office? You know, but then I remember that I live in LA and this is just like a whole other universe out here.
It's the creative sandbox.
It is so the creative sandbox.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, you always got to kind of, and it sounds like a Pinterest quote, but just always look at the positive side of things, you know, and just be honest. Like, I feel like one of the things I've learned, especially being in this position, is just to be honest with yourself. You know, like, there are days where I come home, I'm like, God, that, you know, that sucks. And I have to go back there tomorrow. But, you know, I'm not gonna hide those feelings. But on the upside, you know, look at all these other amazing things I'm still able to accomplish while having that steady paycheck.
Absolutely. It's giving you the fuel to be able – you're taking the pressure off yourself, because when you apply pressure to your creative dream, creative path, and it all of a sudden is supposed to pay your bills, it's a whole other level of pressure.
Oh, it's a whole other level.
Yeah, that you're putting on yourself. It goes from a side hustle to how am I going to pay my rent this month, or, you know, I'm going to be eating Cheerios for 3 weeks like I did in the fall.
Well, that's amazing. As long as they were Honey Nut Cheerios, I fully support that decision.
They were Honey Nut Cheerios and my cholesterol was very low.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. No, but you know what? It's so true. And sometimes I honestly hate that. You know, when I do sit myself down, I'm like, gosh, you know, is it really about the paycheck? You know, is it about that money? And a lot of the times I hate that that's what it comes down to. But I think for whatever reason, or just in my opinion, that something about society has told us to view, you know, to hold the paycheck so high above everything else. And I think it's such a situational, situation. So, like, for me, obviously, am I tied to that paycheck? Yeah, absolutely. Half of me is, and the other half, you know, is like itching to get out. But you just have to be smart about it. You know, like, when that itch becomes a full blown, you know, whatever it may be, then I'm going to know it's time to leave. But you also don't want to jump ship when you're not ready, because then that
absolutely.
All that stress, you know, will only just it won't turn out to be a positive thing. It'll only hinder you from actually focusing on, you know, like, if I'm not at this job, then what? I'm going to have to be bartending until 3 a.m. And I guarantee you, I'm not going to want to come home and write then. So, you know, like.
Absolutely. I think there is something to be said about not pulling the trigger too soon.
Yeah.
You know, you're never, ever really ready. And if you wait till you're ready, you'll be waiting forever. You know that quote.
I absolutely believe those words.
There's a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience that, and maturity, I think it takes to know when the right time is and when to step back and say, hey, right now I got to put in the grunt work to get to where I want to go in the future.
Yeah, and like you said before, we all hear these success stories, but a lot of the time we don't hear the part of it where, you know, that person was us, or, you know, that person was me sitting in the cubicle, you know, when my boss might think that I'm doing emails, but little does he know, like, I'm, you know, writing out my next post. So it's just truly all about making it work. And, you know, if making the best of any downtime. You know, everyone has a decision every single day. So when you're off work, you know, you have a decision to either go to a happy hour with your friends or to go home and, you know, or wherever it may be, you know, to a coffee house, et cetera, to go pursue something that you're really passionate about. So I feel like at the end of the day, it always just comes down to you, like what you're striving to do, your motivation and your goals. And that decision is only going to weigh on your shoulders. So it's absolutely a maturity thing. And, you know, you just have to know kind of, you know, if you're going to listen to the angel or the devil on your shoulder and then go from there.
I totally agree. And I think what you just said about it coming down to a choice is you have to choose what version of yourself do you want to be? You know, do you want to be what others expect you to be? Do you want to be average? Do you want to be above average? And that, like, actually just goes right in perfectly with my next question is, when did you know that you wanted to be more than average? Like, when did you know that you just wanted to be more?
You know, it's really funny. My mom and my dad are truly two of my best friends in the world. And so they live across the country in Florida. So we talk on a daily basis. And my mom is really like my open diary. So whatever it is, you know, she is just like my therapist, my diary, my, you know, she is like my go-to. And we were talking the other day and she told me something that I had never heard. And, you know, she really was giving me a little pep talk. And she said, Chelsea, you know, I'm so proud of you and all these wonderful things. And she said, from, you know, ever since a young age, your dad would always say that she's a legend in her own mind. And at first I was kind of like, oh my God, like what a rude thing to say. You're like, I can't believe that my dad said that about me. But then once I kind of let it soak in and, you know, knowing my dad's personality and our relationship, he was, you know, I think I just kind of, you know, came out of the womb, like ready to go. You know, I truly don't believe in settling at all. I don't think that anyone in any aspect of their life should ever settle. And since I can remember, one of my biggest fears in life is always wondering, what if, you know, like, what if I did this? Or what if I reached out to that person? Or what if I packed up my bags and moved? Or what if I went over to this guy in the bar? Whatever it is, I just never want to wonder what if. So that's why I would like to think that I never wanted to be average. You know, I've always strived to be something else. I've always strived to be, you know, a face or a name that someone remembers in a really positive light. So I guess in the words of my father, I have always been a legend in my own mind.
I love it.
And however that translates, I don't know. But I guess to answer your question, I never want to be average. I think it's just like throwing your hands up, you know, and why would you ever want to strive to do that?
Absolutely. Going along with the what ifs, what do you think is your biggest regret throughout your creative journey that you look back and you say, man, I would change this one thing?
I think the cool thing about that question is I don't really know if anyone has ever asked me that before. If anything, I think my first instinct would have just been to start a little sooner. You know, I feel like especially in today's world, like I when I'm online or honestly just, you know, stalking influencers or YouTubers or whatever it may be, it's like all these teenagers, you know, are like running the world. And I was like, gosh, you know, it takes you a second.
What was I doing at 14?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, God, well, first of all, I was not doing that at 14.
Yeah,
and I definitely didn't look like that. So I don't know what is going on.
Word. I was rocking like a center part with like side clips and jacqueline iron teeth. Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know what kind of teenagers are being produced now, but God bless them because they're like smoking hot by the time they're 12. but yeah, so probably just if I knew what I know now and the feeling that I get when I get an email of someone telling me how, you know, how my post has helped them in any sort of way, then I would have started this years ago. Because that's truly like my heart actually smiles when I read things like that. Whenever I can relate to someone, you know, just through writing words, that's like one of the coolest feelings to me. So if I could have done that sooner to then, you know, maybe come across a woman across the country, you know, come across her computer sooner, then I would have started earlier. But I don't have any huge regrets because, you know, kind of like tying back into the what ifs, you know, it's like if I didn't start when I did, you know, then hope, you know, that I won't end up where I'm going. So if I had to pick a regret, it would be that I would have started earlier, but I just don't really have any.
That's good. You should keep living life like that. I love it. What do you think has been your biggest challenge as a creative and as someone who is living the laptop lifestyle in the sense that, you know, you work your full-time job and then you come home and you work another 6 hours on your blog, trying to push out good content, trying to add value, while also trying to stay current and relevant and find inspiration and then also find encouragement. All of those things.
No, it's all of them every single day. And honestly, I feel it every single day. I'm just like, you know, I've started to kind of make this joke. I'm like, gosh, I wish I had an assistant, even though I don't even know, you know, what he or she would do. I just feel like I'm throwing.
They would take my body to the gym for me.
Yeah.
That's what they would do. They would take my body to the gym for me every day.
Well, mine would be like, Chelsea, you know, you woke up at 5:30 this morning. That doesn't mean that you can now eat this, you know, Reese peanut butter cup. Like, stop. That's not how this works. You know, I just feel like I'm juggling all these things, you know, between just like the blog and life and work and relationships and, you know, just like driving to the grocery store. I would say that my biggest challenge, and I actually just wrote about that, was really not comparing myself to others, because I think, especially with social media being so in front of our face, it's so easy to, you know, and I really make it a point to try not to get caught up all in it, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a picture, and a picture, even though it can speak 1,000 words, can also be manipulated to be however the person posting it wants it to be. There's a lot of jealousy, I think, in this world, you know, because I look at a lot of other bloggers who are, you know, just in reality, 50 steps ahead of me. And I'm thinking, well, damn, she doesn't have to go sit in her cubicle every day, or, you know, gosh, my pictures are such better quality, but she has, you know, tens of thousands of followers or whatever it may be. And, you know, once you start that string of the comparing, it's just a nasty dead end road. You know, you're not going to get anything.
Oh yeah. It's definitely a rabbit hole that you can get yourself sucked into.
Such a rabbit hole. And once you get stuck, it's really hard to climb back out, because I mean, you could just go and go and go. So I would think probably the biggest challenge is, or the thing that I work on the most, is really just keeping my two eyes forward, you know, keeping my blinders on and doing my thing, because, you know, or just like you and me, like what works for you might not work for me. You know, so it's like just doing my thing, because I'm doing my thing for a reason, and I have to believe that it's going to work out in the way that it's supposed to for me and my brand and my readers. So yeah, just two eyes ahead.
And I believe whenever you allow yourself laser-like focus, like you said, we already have so much going on. We're already juggling a lot of things, relationships, a full-time job, a side hustle, future plans, traveling, and whatever it might be. And then on top of that, being jealous of the person standing to the right and left of us, it's like, it's too much. And so I think just focusing on what's ahead of you and the goals that you have for yourself and having confidence in those goals is hard. It's very hard. But I think that's what separates the good from the great, is mm-hmm. that they're able to completely block out everything else and just focus on the main end goal.
Yeah, and just doing something every single day. I don't care if like it's an inch or a mile, but as long as you're making progress, then you're doing something right. You know, there are days where I lay down on my head, you know, I lay my head on the pillow. I'm like, God, I just absolutely slayed life today. You know, like I'm going to give myself a subtle pat on the back. God, you know, like those are great days where I'm like, yes, you know. And then there are days where I'm like, damn, like did I, you know, kind of what else could I have done?
Or, yeah, you know, should I have even gotten out of bed today?
Right, right. So it's finding that balance in, you know, just, you know, even if it's one email outreach or whatever it is, just seriously doing something every single day that's going to get you to where you want to be.
Absolutely. I feel like in the world of social media, it's really easy to compare, but it's social media has also been an amazing tool for growth and for bloggers to showcase their lifestyle, to showcase their personality and kind of break down those walls between the laptop to show a little bit more of who you are and what you do. And so what social platforms are your favorite and what are most important for your blog growth?
So I would say Instagram is probably for sure my biggest platform. And I think mainly because I feel like out of all the social media, you know, out of every social media platform that's probably the one that people are on the most. You know, if I admitted to how many times I refresh my Instagram a day, it would be a really embarrassing number. I am sure of it. But yeah, I feel like I like it the most and it's my biggest platform because I feel like I can be most engaged with my readers there. You know, it's a quick response or, you know, they can then click on my friends and, you know, see who my friends are or, you know, where I was that day or whatever it is. And maybe it's just in my own mindset, but I don't feel weird like typing a paragraph on Instagram. And I would kind of feel a little weird doing it on like Facebook. That's just a personal preference. You know, and it might be a little embarrassing how much time I put into every single Instagram. Cause I'm like, if I'm going to be putting out this, you know, to all my readers who take the time to read these words and, you know, who take the time out of their day to even look or like this picture, like I want it to be something of quality and I want them to feel like, you know, they knew what's going on in my life or my thoughts or my feelings or where I am and all of those things. I want nothing more for them to truly be like, oh, Chelsea, yeah, I know her. Like, yeah, this is what she did today. Like, I love that connection. I think as crazy as the social media world is, it's really special. You know, even just like for you and I, like we could have never crossed paths in life, you know, instead of Instagram. And as silly as it kind of seems, I think it's really powerful. And if you use it in the right manner, it can be your best asset.
I absolutely agree. I feel the same way. I think there is so much value that you can add to all social, but at the same time, you can get sucked into it. So it's like you can't spend so much time on social that you're not spending time creating something on the side too.
Exactly.
And I think that's why it's sometimes I'm totally guilty of this, is I spend so much time in photography and editing and, you know, creating the perfect caption or, you know, writing something really meaningful that I don't spend as much time on my blogs, you know, because I'm so into social. And so I've found myself in that every now and then. But what are your thoughts on Twitter and Snapchat?
So actually, that's so funny. I told myself the other day, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be a really good Snapchatter. I'm like, I don't even know what it takes to be a good Snapchatter, but I'm going to do it. Snapchat's like kind of my new thing right now. I'm super into it.
Same.
Especially
Me
with
too.
Those new stickers. I'm like, okay, these are awesome. So I'm completely on the Snapchat train. Twitter, I love Twitter in the sense because you can, all the links are clickable. And, you know, I feel like sometimes, especially in our generation, people just want the easiest access. Like on Instagram, for someone to even then go to a profile and then click the link, like God forbid they go one more step, you know, but people don't want to do it. So
I think it's, yeah, like Instagram is not a click away type of social platform.
Yeah.
It's a a platform that whenever you're in it to stay. Whereas Twitter and Facebook, you go there expecting to see articles and links and videos and things like that.
Yeah. So I love Twitter for that sense. You know, you can just scroll. And when you see something, you can just click it right there. And, you know, then it opens up to a whole new world. So, you know, I guess kind of anything with anything in life, each platform has their different pros and cons. But yeah, I'm going to start Snapchatting you more because we need to get it.
I love Snapchat so much. I think it really takes down some serious walls. I mean, if you want to, you can really show who you are, what you're about. I feel like it's pretty unedited. You know, it's not live, but you know, you don't have to make it perfect, which I like.
There's kind of like that rawness, you know, like that vulnerability, like, oh wait, that's really her. Like, you know, you see it and you see it in real time and you know that, you know, of course you could put a silly filter on it, but like that's them. Or, you know, like you'll see like that's Chelsea. Like there's no, you know, there's no brightness added or whatever it may be, you know, like it's just me, like in my pajamas with my hair on top of my head. And like, that's what you get, you know, and that's who I am. Cause I also think that we forget, especially on Instagram, like that it's not real time, or, you know, that sometimes so much editing goes into it or whatever it is. So I think something like Snapchat is really cool just because, like we were saying, like that's the person and what you see is what you get. And
yeah,
you know, it's a whole new different glimpse into their life.
It's very real time. And I think my absolute favorite feature of Snapchat is that it is not a vanity platform. Like, I do not know how many people watch your Snapchats, you know, you don't know how many people follow me. And I like that because it really allows you not to get wrapped up in that comparison game. It just allows you to have fun. Like, I think of Snapchat as a really fun platform versus something like Instagram, where I think a lot more about what I'm about to put on there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, Snapchat, this is going to last for 24 hours. I'm like, Instagram, I'm like, okay, does the next picture go like with the vibe of my overall page, you know? I'm like, Chelsea, I can't believe that you're sitting here on the couch thinking about this, you know? Oh my God,
don't
I do it
guilty.
Every single day. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll just post that on another day because it's going to look better if, like, God, do something else.
Love it. What do you think is your end goal with the millennial miss? So talk a little bit about what your strategy is with that. Do you use WordPress? Do you use Blogger? You know, what got you to where you are now? And then what do you think is your plans for the future? Are your plans for the future?
Yeah. So just on the logistics side, I was on WordPress for about the first year. And I just made a switch over to Squarespace, which I'm loving. I'm a few months into Squarespace, so I'm still kind of in the baby stages. However, and I don't have anything honestly bad to say about WordPress at all. So if anyone's on WordPress or looking to do it, I'm a huge advocate for it. But Squarespace, I feel like, is just a little bit more user-friendly. Let's see. The millennialness has been up for a little over 2 years, and before I launched it, I was just in this really weird place in life. Like, I was just like, go from a job, and I was sitting out in California thinking, holy shit, like what, you know, my next steps are going to be really crucial. And what do I want to do with them? You know, and whatever I do next is going to be for me and something that, you know, that I'm going to build on my own. And I'm such a beach girl. So like the beach is my sanctuary. So I was sitting there and, you know, I was just writing. I love to write. It's completely my therapy. You know, people shop or drink and I'm just a complete dork and I write. So I was sitting there writing and, you know, I started publishing a few things on just a really rinky dink old website that I had. And I started to get these emails from these different women around my age or just around the country. And I was, you know, when I got my first one, I was thinking, holy crap, like this is like someone found me and read this and they like it and relate to it. You know, it was just like that concept was so mind blowing to me. Mm-hmm. Cause I had never experienced something like that. So I was like, okay, you know, I think I'm kind of onto something here, Charles. Like, let's see if we, you know, just kind of post it every week. And so through time, I just grew it in one post a month and then two posts a month. And then, you know, and I just, it was truly just became all about consistency. And I just did a whole new web design and rebrand. And I just wanted everything aesthetically just to, you know, scream my vibe and really be like, when you go to my website, that you're getting a glimpse of me and everything that you see, you know, is real and genuine. And, you know, hopefully a slice of the reader's life as well. So let's see, I'm 26 and I just felt like, you know, the past 6 years of my life have just been so crazy interesting, you know, in the worst ways and in the best ways possible. Like no one prepared me truly for like the roller coaster that is life and that is life after college and purely just growing up, you know. I found it so crazy that we would sit in these college classes for 4+ years. But then when we get out into the real world, I kind of felt like I knew nothing, you know, like that I was just completely unprepared for the biggest test of my life. And here I was, you know, a really smart, ambitious girl, just like, I feel like life was smacking me around a bit. And I wanted to create a space, you know, on the internet, since that's where, you know, we're all comfortable, you know, to talk about things and, you know, just to really zone in on the millennial women, as opposed to, you know, just every millennial everywhere. And let's talk about politics and fashion and food and life. And let's just do it all. I'm like, okay, as much as I love that, and as a consumer, I need that too. I want to create something a little more specific, you know? So I was like, I'm not an expert in anything. Honestly, I can just say that I'm an expert in living my life. And I think that for the most part, you know, I'm a pretty normal 20-something girl figuring it out. So let's create that space. Let's create that space for the millennial, you know, 20-something women evolving. And let's all just experience these trials and tribulations together.
I love that. I love that you just said I'm an expert at nothing, but I'm an expert at living my life, because I feel like, especially in the world of blogging and the marketing industry, entrepreneurship, honestly, in general, is we all try to market ourselves as these experts in something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an expert in social media, I'm an expert in fashion, or whatever it might be. And like the fact that you took what you knew and then you had so many people reach out to you wanting more and relating to you, that you created a safe space where women could feel heard and, you know, feel like they're not the only ones in the world feeling this way. And I think that's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. But, you know, the whole expert thing, I guess a little fun fact, when I moved out to LA, I moved out under the pretenses that truly my goal and my dream was to be on TV. Not to say that it's not so, but, you know, I was that girl that moved across the country and was like, I'm going to be an entertainment host. And so I had enrolled myself in all these classes, and every single night after going to work, you know, that was my side hustle, as I would go to these classes. And our coach would always tell us that that's what she would always ask. What are you an expert in? Are you going to be an expert in sports, in lifestyle, or, you know, fashion or entertainment? And I had a really, really hard time digesting that question, because there I was, I love fitness. You know, I love college football, but I also love putting together a really cute outfit. Yeah, Roll Tide. And, you know, I love putting together a really cute outfit. But then at the same time, like, I love love. And I just want to sit on the couch with my girlfriends and talk about relationships. So you know, my coach would always get frustrated with me. Is like, why don't you have an answer? Like, what are you an expert in? Why is that so hard to answer? And we would just kind of come to these little battles in class, because I thought that that was one of the craziest questions to ask a 20-something. Like, what do you mean what am I an expert in? I'm an expert in being me. So, you know, that's where, that was my light bulb. You know, that was my light bulb moment. And I was like, you know what? I don't need you to tell me what I'm an expert in. Like, I'm the one that's going to tell myself what I'm an expert in, and we're going to run with that and see what happens. I've been lucky enough to have some experience in the entertainment world with previous jobs and, you know, people you meet. And I kind of had an insight into how that works, you know? So if you think about it, every single morning show, you know, they're broadcast every single day. So they have to have fresh content, and they're always looking, you know, for someone, I guess, quote unquote, interesting to interview. I'm not sure if I'm that interesting, but, you know, so I would just blindly, I am a team of one, you know, I don't have an assistant and I don't have a PR backing. So I just would pitch myself to these different networks. And it's kind of like anything in life. Once you get one or two things under your belt, you know, essentially it's just building a resume. So once I got, you know, the first interview under my belt, then it, you know, then it adds a little validity to me when I reach out to the next network. Or, you know, from there, you know, I've had some emails, hey, I saw you on this interview, you know, can we collab on this? Or are you in this area to come on our show? So, you know, it's just all about like getting the ball rolling, you know, and just going for it. You have to put the first step down, because then your left foot goes and then your right foot, and, you know, then you start to jog and run. And so that's where it came from. And I love doing it. You know, I get those like really excited butterflies whenever I'm on set. So
and you rock it too.
You're totally so sweet. Thank you.
I love it.
So yeah, it's been really cool. And I think in my sense, I'm just really trying to figure out anything that I can do to connect with my readers more. So sometimes, you know, like if they just, a lot of them have never actually heard my voice, you know, like you can't hear my voice on Instagram or in my, you know, actually hear my words in your, you know, in their head when you're reading it, because a lot of them don't even know what I sound like. So I'm like, gosh, you know, if I can stand on any platform, you know, and they can see me, you know, move in real life and talk and, you know, I do exist kind of thing. So, you know, it was just, it's just another step to try to relate to, you know, more women around the world.
And did you see, this is just like a personal question. Did you see like a spike in interest and a spike in the followership, or did you feel like that was a good thing for you to do?
Yes, I did. A few, my first interview that I did was in New Haven and on a really, really great morning show called CT Style. And from there, I, you know, different local interviews picked me up, it was really anything from like, hey, we saw you on CT Style. Could you tell us, you know, we're doing this article on millennials drinking, you know, can we interview you? So I'm like, yeah. And I think really, like, here's my number. Especially in the beginning stages, obviously with expectation or, you know, with standards, but like for me personally, I believe that I'm not in a position to turn down a lot of things, you know, as long as I feel comfortable and it goes along with my brand. So anything or, you know, anyone trying to start out, whatever connections you can make or whatever interview you can do, whatever it is, always do it, because you just never know who's watching and you never know who's reading. So I've definitely seen, a spike in my readership or following. You know, people are like, wait, you know, so what is she doing? You know, so it sparks just a different set of interests, you know, because coming from a blog to going to live TV, that's just two different worlds. So when you see those worlds collide, you know, it's been interesting to hear feedback about it.
No, I think you're right. Saying yes to a lot in the beginning is what you should do. But then there also comes to a point where you have to ask yourself, okay, does this benefit me? Does this align with my goals? Does this align with my brand?
Absolutely.
But congrats to you. That is so exciting. And I can't wait to just watch you more.
Thanks, Fred.
And you're also on After the Buzz, right? Or The Buzz?
Yeah, it's called After the Buzz.
After Buzz. Okay.
Which is really, it's a really fun wrap-up network. So I'm currently doing The Bachelorette. Are you watching?
Of course I am.
Who do you love?
I personally like Luke and Chase.
Okay, well then we're going to have to fight, because I'm completely in love with Luke. no, but so totally Team Luke. But yes, I do AfterBuzz TV, which is really fun. It's a podcast and a live feed of, we just do the Bachelorette and Bachelor show wrap ups. So there's a panel of four of us and we really just sit there and talk about all things Bachelor, and it's awesome.
How fun.
It's so fun.
That would be so cool. I love it. Speaking of Bachelor and love and relationships, how do you feel like relationships in general? You are currently in a long distance relationship. So am I. But you've also been in short distance relationships. You've been single, all of it. How does it affect your creativity and your confidence in your goals and dreams and the pace in which you go about them?
So I actually have a few different answers from you. None of them align with each other. So
great.
So just to completely toss things up here, you know, it's really funny. Sometimes when I sit down at my computer, because like I said before, I love, and I love talking about relationships. They are so crazy, intriguing, and interesting to me in all aspects. So when I sit down at my computer, that's kind of like where my mind first goes to. And I was sitting here the other day and I was going to write about something. And I thought, God, you know, like I just don't have, and I haven't had any relationship drama in so long that I'm like, I like need something to happen, you know, for a spark of interest, or like, I need to put myself back, you know, into the shoes of my old relationships, you know, and like really grab some inspiration from there, because you know, it's one of those things like I've always just dreamed of being, you know, in this lovely relationship. And here I finally am in one. And, you know, I'm like, God, you're like, I kind of wish something like would happen so I could write about it. I'm like, Chelsea, that is one of the most twisted things you've ever thought. Really, you know, like, can you like stir something up here? So in that sense, it's been really interesting for me to kind of like take a step back and be like, okay, well, when you were in this type of relationship, you know, I have been hardcore cheated on. I have done a few different long distance relationships. You know, I've had relationships with people who have never deserved, you know, my time of day, let alone months of my life. You know, so I've experienced a lot of different things, and it's been really interesting to write about. One of my very first blogs was I wrote an open letter to the man that cheated on me. And actually he's not a man, he's a boy, that cheated on me. And it was one of my most read articles to this day, because women just around the country, you know, something that unfortunately I think a lot of us can relate to. So, so there's that side of it. I also think now that I am in a functioning, loving, healthy, long distance relationship, you know, everyone has their stigma of long distance relationships. And I know this isn't a love chat, so we don't even have to go down that path. But I think a positive of it is it truly gives me time, like, to do me. And by doing me, I mean, like, if I want to sit at my dining room table and write on a Friday night, you know, in my underwear, like I can, you know, I that's what I do, because it's just my agenda, you know, and absolutely, I don't have to worry about like, shoot, you know, I told him that we were going to go do this, or, you know, how do I balance? So in a sense, like, do I wish that he was here with me every single day? Absolutely. Without a question, I do. But there are some days I'm kind of like, well, you know, this is awesome. Like, this is my space. And, you know, this is like my little safe haven just to work and, you know, bust some things out and do my thing. Which brings a cool, different, like cool set of inspiration.
Absolutely. Yeah. Know? I think that's just finding the positive in the fact that you aren't together all the time, but it's a good positive to be able to say, hey, you know, even though we're not together right now, I'm going to bust out this work so that the next time I see him, I don't have to, you know, be stuck in my laptop.
Yeah, exactly. And it totally gives me motivation, you know, so I go see my boyfriend, let's see, about once a weekend every month. So I'm like, all right, you know, this weekend I'm going. So which really means, you know, not only do I need to shave my legs, I'm like, I have to get all my posts done, you know, for the following week. So I'm like, all right, time to sit down and crank. So no, I mean, just kind of like how we started out the conversation, I'm just such a huge believer that everything is about finding the silver lining, you know, not making it up, but just truly finding it and, you know, being able to, you know, just be a complete dork and, you know, sit here and do my blog work on a Friday night is that's my silver lining. So, yeah.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's awesome. Girl, you and I could sit here and talk forever. I really do feel like we could just talk for hours. But I want to wrap up and I have two questions for you. So the first one is, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
Have you seen those memes where it's like all these kids are not kids, you know, are 20 somethings are sitting around at a table, everyone's in their phone, and people, and you know, the meme's like, what are you doing this weekend? Or can't we hang out with my friends this week? And everyone's just sitting there on their phone. Mm-hmm. That's honestly what comes to mind. And I think that sounds so negative, but it's just true. Like, mm-hmm. everyone's just on their phone, and whether, you know, if they're doing legitimate emails or, you know, stalking someone's, you know, ex-girlfriend, like, we're all there. So I mean, I just feel like our heads are just always down in a device.
Absolutely. I agree, which is just another reason why you got to look up and you got to get out sometimes.
Yeah.
Behind the screen. And then my last question for you is, what are you most grateful for?
I'm completely grateful for just for life. And it's not just one thing, just everything all encompassing. I think that a lot of times we're so hard on ourselves. And in those moments, you really just have to take a step back and look at all the beautiful things, you know, even the beautiful struggles that have brought you to the exact point that you are. I think there's huge power in that. And I think it's so crucial to do every single day, to take a step back and to take a breath and realize, bring to light all your different little blessings, because, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And I think a lot of us, you know, feel so, you know, like we're all Superman or Superwoman, and like tomorrow is always guaranteed, and it's not. So I am just truly grateful for life.
Especially in the world that we live in, you know, having the mentality of just, I'm so grateful for what I have right now in front of me, and just grateful for the breath in my lungs when I wake up in the morning. Like, even just simple things like that can really allow you to live in a season and in a mindset of gratefulness. And then you're able to just do more and be more and give more, which is just awesome.
Which is truly awesome. Yeah, it really is.
So girl, you are such a ray of sunshine. I feel so blessed to know you and to text you and Snapchat you. And I love your mission. I love what you're all about. Where can people find you online?
So my
And
blog,
I'll also have this all linked up in the show notes too, but where can people find you online?
So my blog is themillennialmiss.com. And I don't know, I didn't know that it was so confusing, but it's Miss as in M-I-S-S. So themillennialmiss.com. And then my Twitter and Instagram is at C-Breiche. So C-B-R-I-C-H-E.
Wonderful. Well, I will have those all linked up. And I just want to thank you so much for your time and acknowledge you for all that you do for the women all over the world and for what you do even in your own tribe in LA. You're just such a ray of light. And I'm so thankful for you. Thank you so much for coming on the Laptop Lifestyle.
You're such a dream. Thank you for having me.